Hello, it's Monday, August 15th, and you are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I'm your host, Chris. This is show number 18. Check out the website, www.dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, forums, podcast feeds, and the show archive. If you want to float us an email, the address is videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. And we have Keith and Bob with us today. Hello.
Good evening.
Today we will be discussing new at Dream Station, the GBA Micro rumored to be $100, the Nintendo DS price drop, our bi-weekly top 8, the Xbox 360 minus the hard drive, Microsoft to control third party, putting a price on the EverQuest 2 inflation, video game defense fails in court, the BlizzCon game announcements, video game deaths, fact or crap, our forum question, and our mailbag.
Next topic.
In housekeeping, once again, if you want to vote for us, podcastalley.com, we appreciate the votes. We have a contest on the main site. If you go to the left-hand side, there'll be a little contest box. The contest is for coded arms and some t-shirts and some strategy guides and stuff. There's a lot more details where you can enter on the site. The PlayStation Portable firmware 2.0 was not up, as it was reported. Sony actually announced this on the 12th. They said it's going to be coming this week, so for those of you guys trying to download it, I know I tried to grab it this past weekend. It wasn't there. The Grand Theft Auto patch is also out to get rid of the whole hot coffee thing, so hurry up and download it.
Yeah, you know, I'm curious how many downloads that thing's actually going to get.
I would assume very little.
Make it safe for the children.
Remember the children.
Next topic.
New at DreamStation.cc this week, the Halo 2 match against Gamertag Radio is going to be happening on Saturday. We will be giving you the results on next week's podcast. We're going to see what we can record as far as video and or audio. I promise very little, mainly because my computer is in the basement and my TV is upstairs.
I promise even less.
Well, thanks.
I promise the least out of everybody.
A couple people asked me where the Major Nelson interview is. Major Nelson is traveling, so when he gets back, I got to get in touch with him and set it up. We haven't forgotten about it. Also new on the website, we have Riviera, the Promised Land review for the Game Boy Advanced, the Max Power replacement battery for the PSP, the actual Sony PSP itself was reviewed. The PC version of Puzzle Pirates has been reviewed. Still life. Puzzle Pirates isn't a bad
Actually,
game.
I've played that game before, and it is entertaining.
Hey, I said sweet.
And we did a PC review of Still Life.
Next topic.
The Game Boy Advance Micro rumored to be $100. Popular Science Magazine has reported that it's possible that the Game Boy Micro will be $100. Again, this is speculation based on the writers of Popular Science Magazine, but it was based on their research or whatever. I've already come out on record saying that even for $30 or $40, I wouldn't buy one. I already have a Game Boy Advance SP. I don't need another one. What do you guys think, $100?
And all it is smaller. It's not like it's any better.
Very, very teeny.
It's a 2.5-inch screen.
It's just $100 I can lose. I lose my phone at least once a month. So, I mean, you take something smaller than that, and yeah, it's just going to be gone.
My take on this is I doubt very much so that the Game Boy will be $100 for the Micro.
Right, I can't see it being that much, but who knows?
You could buy a DS for, I think it's like $150 right now, and we're going to get to the story in a second that it might even be less than that. If they do it, it's just fuel for the fire of the Nintendo haters, I think.
There are no Nintendo haters, it's just us.
Well, that's right. We only love the Xbox 360, and we hate everything else.
I thought we only loved Sony.
It depends on who you talk to. We can all agree on one thing.
But I think we can agree that no one thinks we love Nintendo.
Correct.
Next topic.
Nintendo DS price drop. This is from cheapassgamer.com, supposedly a reliable source, that's reliable in quotes, says that on or before August 21st, the Nintendo DS will drop at $20 in price. So it's $150 now, it'll go down to $130. So I think that also helps to further disprove the whole $100 Game Boy Micro. That would be pretty crazy that you could get a DS for mere pennies more.
My nipples of clairvoyance say not such things.
For those of you who don't know, Cheapass Gamer is a kind of a forum-based website. You fill out an account, and then you can go in here, and they have different deals for different games or systems or what have you. Physical proof from a major retailer that Nintendo will be dropping the price suggests a retail price of the DS in time for release of Nintendogs.
Is that considered a highly anticipated release?
Nintendogs is a highly anticipated release, yes. Okay, that was our 2 minutes on the Nintendo DS price drop, including 45 seconds of me wasting time trying to find the article.
That's what we call show preparation right there. That's the kind of effort you can expect from the DreamStation.cc radio show. Research on the fly.
Without Google Phil.
Next topic.
Amazon.com, our bi-weekly, apparently, top eight. We just kind of throw the top eight when it's a slow news week. It's a slow news week. Again, this is from Amazon.com. This is for the top sellers in the computer and video games category. Number eight, for PC, The Sims 2 Nightlife Expansion Pack. It's not out yet, so this is pre-orders.
Wait, wasn't that the game that's going to make people allow practice for pedophiles and such?
Practice for pedophiles.
Number seven, again, the PC version of Dungeon Siege 2. Also not yet released. If you guys want, you could just send us money. We're going to release a game soon in the next future time.
Undoubtedly within the next decade or two.
It's just amazing to me, looking at this list, the amount of people that are getting this thing in the top eight that are pre-orders. They're not even out. But again, hey, whatever.
Hello, consumer.
Number six, Half-Life 2. Half-Life 2, again, it's for PC. Number five, Keith's favorite game, Nancy Drew's Secret of the Old Clock for the PC.
She still hasn't figured out that secret yet of the old clock.
It's come to my attention that we have this game for review.
Sweet. You got to mail me that one.
Look forward to this in the upcoming weeks here.
Yeah, we definitely got to get our hands on that one. The Secret of the Old...
We've got target audience written all over us.
I've got a few ideas to solve the mystery. Try winding it, changing the battery. make sure the minute hands are moving okay.
That's your tips? If those don't work, then go ahead and call tech support. World of Warcraft for the PC and Mac comes in at number four this week. Or this hour, I guess, since these are hourly tools. Number three, the PlayStation Portable Value Pack.
Don't buy this. There's still no games, mind you.
I was busting CNC's chops because he put up a review of the PlayStation Portable, and he gave it a rather high score, and I kind of said, He was basing it on
like
potential.
And he was all like, whoa, dude, we don't need that kind of language here.
Like Keith said, there's no games for it, so really, why is the score so high? He was basing it off of potential, really. It's actually a pretty good piece of hardware. Again, for $250, I would wait. Number two and number one, both the same game for different platforms. Number two is the Xbox version of Madden 2006, and number one, the PlayStation 2 version of Madden 2006.
Have you played that yet or not?
I have played it for maybe an hour or two for the PlayStation. I will say that the PlayStation graphics were not very swift. The guys were very blurry. They had a couple new gimmicks this year. One of them was vision passing, which basically you have to look at your receiver. You have a beam of light that shines on the receiver as you're looking at him to simulate where your quarterback's eyes are pointing. That made the game a lot more complicated than it needs to be. Yes, it's realistic, but realistic does not equal fun. My short little review of, again, I've only played it for about an hour. We got about two games in, and I'm happy to say that I beat him both times using the 74 ranked overall New York Giants against the 90 something ranked Pittsburgh Steelers. Ranked meaning out of 100, that's how good they are. So my first impression is, if you have Madden 2005, there's no need to buy 2006. Now again, they're going to make you buy 2006 if you want to play online. Once the time comes over for 2006 to be live, you can't use Madden 2005 online anymore because you got to go through their servers. So
next topic.
Xbox 360 minus the hard drive. Earlier this week, Jay Allard said that the Xbox 360 could possibly come without a hard drive at some point down the road. Again, this is not specifically at launch. He was just saying in general that they could release different versions targeted at different price ranges. There's also speculation that if they go with a high-definition DVD drive, they may or may not want to put the hard drive in there to kind of keep the costs down. His major point was that, hey, developers, you should make sure that the games do not rely on the hard drive. It shouldn't be a required thing. My problem with this is, if you don't require the hard drive for the games, not all the developers are going to use them. The hard drive I loved in the Xbox, everything was so much faster to load and save. You didn't have to wait like you did on a PlayStation with the stupid memory cards. Now, I'm sure the speed will be improved a little bit, but I don't want to have to worry about all these little peripherals to try and make sure my game's all in order.
That just seems very stupid, in my humble opinion. Right. I can understand and respect the want and need to keep the prices low, but that was like one of the, like you just said, that was like one of the coolest things about the Xbox, is that it had a hard drive. So now they're going to basically package it and sell it separate. They shouldn't change the way developers are designing the games.
One of the things I had read before said that they're going to have custom soundtracks available in every single game. Custom soundtracks, you're going to need a hard drive, unless you have a nice, big, huge, some sort of memory stick or something that you're going to load your MP3s onto.
Some 20 gigabyte memory stick. That'd be easy.
I would rather if they say that you should plan on there being one there, but okay, fine. Don't require it. Don't only check there. Check the hard drive first, then check to see if there is an external, you know, a memory card or something.
I don't understand, I mean, why that's the first place they go to reduce the price, just because it's probably just because it's easily removable, but how much can a tiny hard drive cost anymore? Well, mean, seriously, how big is the hard drive supposed to be?
The one that comes with it is 20 gigs, which I don't even think you can buy
that's
one that small.
Nothing.
Anymore.
I was going to say, they're so small that you can't even get one that big.
I agree with Bob. I can't imagine this thing costing much more than $20, $30 at most, especially when you're buying
is it really
in bulk
make
like
or
they're
break?
Going to.
Yeah, is it really going to make or break your decision to buy a game if they lower the price by $20? That's what I meant.
I know,
sorry.
Right. I would gladly pay 10 or 20 bucks more if you told me it was going to have a hard drive versus not.
Next topic.
Microsoft to control third parties. Microsoft, starting with the Xbox 360, will be requiring a fee for third-party vendors to create peripherals. What they do today is they require a fee for the Xbox logo to be on your, say, joystick or dance pad. You pay Microsoft a fee to get the little logo on there, the, like, official Microsoft endorsement or whatever. What they want to do is they want to have a fee so that it will work. They're going to have some sort of chip in there that's going to detect whether peripheral, joystick, dance pad, steering wheel, whatever, is allowed to have a, you know, signature security clearance. And if it's not, it won't work. In addition to the fee, they want a percentage of the sales.
Oh, so all it's going to do is make peripherals cost a billion times more. That's great. Thanks, Microsoft.
And basically all the peripherals from Microsoft prior to this weren't necessarily checked to see if they work?
In this generation now, you can get Microsoft's permission, you slap the old Xbox logo on there, and you could make, Keith, you could have your own joystick if you want. I mean, that's how Madcap does it and all these other things. Oh, you do? It wasn't on the Amazon Top 8. I wonder why that is.
I don't have a retort for that. I'm number 9.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second. This could actually improve the quality of the peripherals. I've never been a humongous fan of the Mad Catz joysticks or memory cards by third parties. I mean, with PlayStation 2, Keith, how many memory cards did you and I buy third party that were 10 bucks cheaper, but they would just get wiped every 10 days? Because
yeah, I basically stopped buying any kind of third-party peripheral because it inevitably breaks or doesn't work right for no good reason. Like in the case of the memory cards, would just wipe all the data that was on it. Only buy official brand stuff.
I only buy official stuff because I know Nintendo has slapped their stamp of approval on the waiver. It's a wireless remote. Nintendo has endorsed it. It's probably going to work. It has to pass through their test. They're not going to put their stamp on some sloppy piece of crap. Same thing is going to happen with the Xbox, or so I would like to think. I don't buy third-party stuff.
You were just giving Nintendo props.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't want people to think that you like anybody out there.
What they have now is the deal with Mad Catz says that they can make certain peripherals for the 360. Dance pads, flight sticks, and steering wheels. The other caveat to that is that all of these are wired. You know, Microsoft is going wireless for everything. Mad Catz specifically is not allowed to make hard drives, light guns, any kind of cheat code thing like Action Replay or a Game Shark or whatever those things are called. Game Genie. Can't make those things specifically. My take on this is that it's them trying to increase their bottom line. Possibly greed.
Free by Microsoft? No. Heavens. Perish the thought.
I say possibly because I do think it's a little both. They get all this crappy third-party things getting put out that are going to be considerably cheaper than the regular standard Microsoft stuff. The majority of people that I know that aren't in our little 5 or 6 guys that we talk to, most of them have third-party joysticks. They have these big, ugly, stupid things that may or may not work all the time. Some of them may or may not be wireless. I don't understand how they use them. It's different sizes. They feel differently in your hands, but they like them because they're 10 bucks cheaper. They're not paying 25 for a joystick. They're paying 10 or 15, and to them, it's worth it. To me, it's not at all.
Next topic.
Putting a price on EQ2 inflation. You guys will like this one. Dupers made tons and tons of platinum, which is EverQuest 2's main currency. They found a way to dupe it, they made a whole bunch of it, and in only 24 hours, it caused a 20% inflation across the entire EverQuest 2 world.
Sweet.
Now, in addition to this, there's a little ironic piece. Remember, Sony has this thing where you can use basically their own little eBay for these EverQuest goods? Well, then they went ahead and used the official Sony auction site called Station Exchange to sell this platinum and to sell goods and stuff that they've duped.
Hey, Sony got their cut.
They should be thanking the dupers.
To their credit, supposedly Sony has everything back on track. They've removed all the duped money and items from the game. They found out who's done the duping. They've banned it. They supposedly found out how they duped. They fixed the code. Now, this is on server-per-server basis, so the fact that they can dupe didn't blow every single server out of the water. But it is the first time I've ever heard where statistics are put on it. In 24 hours, this duping caused a 20% jump. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Now, Sony has actually come out and squashed it really quick, saying, we have all kinds of alerts for this type of thing, and look, gamers, we've proven that this works, and we are actually paying attention to what's going on, and we fixed it and put everything back to normal.
Thank you, and continue buying products from Cray Industries.
The problem is, though, is that it still happened and screwed up the economy.
But they did a rollback.
Oh, so basically they just undid all the time people spent playing. So if you're a legitimate gamer, a legitimate gamer and you sat there that whole day and that happened to be the one day you decided to take vacation and just play until your nubs fell off, you just got screwed because that all got rolled back because of the idiocy of some farmer duper, super duper farmer gripper.
Super duper?
Okay, I will say I'm not sure if they did a rollback just generic across the board. I highly doubt it. Otherwise, I would have seen.
Son.
Thank you for making fun of my speech impediment.
Hey, no problem.
Everyone is
special. That's what we're here for, to pick out the shortcomings and point them out to others.
So I don't know that. Anybody of you guys who play EverQuest 2, I'm sorry to hear that. And in addition, if you would let us know...
In addition?
Let us know what exactly this rollback entailed. I'm assuming it's just items, money, stuff like that. I really don't think that they would just do a rollback. I am not an EverQuest 2 player, so I can't speak firsthand. But this is the news, and this is how I'm bringing it to you. Bring it to him! For something.
This is the news, and it's been brought.
You didn't even give me a chance.
This is the news. We are going to bring it. In fact, it has been brought.
Next topic.
Video game defense fails in court. Devin Moore killed two Alabama police officers and a police dispatcher. This happened previously. When he was arrested, he said, "Life is a video game. Everybody has to die sometime." In court, he tried to use the defense that, you know, he played Grand Theft Auto constantly, and the game actually made him want to kill people. It was training. He tried to recreate it. Blah, 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 blah. Well, jurors had none of it. Sentenced this dude to death.
I have none of it. Sure they...
Hey, like he said, in the video game, everybody's got to go.
Might as well be now.
And what does Bumblefoot the Insignificant have to say about this?
It took the jury about an hour to convict him of capital murder. They have to start sentencing. He may get the death penalty. I apologize. I didn't want to say that he is being put to death. Bumblefoot, we said we wouldn't mention him anymore, but we can mention him in whispers. He whose name we do not speak. A lawsuit was filed by the Unspoken One on behalf of the relatives of two of the victims that are... He's basically trying to take this to the next level and say, yes, GTA was in fact the place that caused all this nonsense.
Oh, so he's caught in a quandary now. Because if he's right, then this dude has an excuse, and he can be put in a psychiatric hospital rather than a prison where he deserves to be. Oh, the Unspoken One has a quandary indeed.
Quite a conundrum you've encountered, Bumblefoot the Insignificant.
He should be killed immediately. And in a horrible way. They could tie him up and let the family members of the three cops that he killed put on a steel-toe boot and kick him squat in the peanuts.
It'll take like a few days. Maybe he'll get sepsis because it was a dirty boot.
I mean, what it is it sounds like this little idiot, he's acting all punkish, and now that he's actually going, he's looking at being put to death, all of a sudden now his attitude's changed. He's trying every appeal he can. He's going to say the video games did it. He'll probably be blaming a musical artist in the near future. If we're lucky, he'll turn and he'll make Bumblefoot out to be the bad guy that he was actually the one behind this. And a side note, University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign had some tests that were just released that said it is definitely not the case that violence in video games is increasing violence in real life. We've gone over this kind of stuff before. Since you are listening to this podcast, you are probably of a gamer mentality, which means you probably agree with the rest of the sane world that video games don't cause people to go crazy and kill everybody else. So I'm not going to go into the stats, but basically it's just more statistical data backing this up.
Next topic.
BlizzCon game announcements. BlizzCon is a Blizzard, going to be yearly. It's starting this October. It's kind of a convention for Blizzard games.
Let me guess who this is sponsored by.
Turbine.
Valve. EA.
Sony.
Yes, Blizzard is sponsoring. It's an official Blizzard convention. And what happened was, I think we reported last week that Blizzard North was closed and that they moved some of the guys to their main headquarters, the Blizzard headquarters. People were kind of ranting and worried about, these guys were working on Diablo 3, and now that Blizzard is closed down, that Diablo 3 wasn't up to par. CNN reported that whatever announcement about video games they're going to make at October's BlizzCon is not going to be about Diablo or StarCraft. So in English, that means they're not announcing Diablo 3, they're not announcing StarCraft 2. The announcement will be tied to World of Warcraft, and we all know that means that there's going to be an expansion, because it was already mentioned. They're probably just going to give more details about it. Big freaking whoop.
Yeah, whoopee. Okay, great.
Speaking of Diablo 3, we've kind of made our own little Diablo 3, and we've been playing with the last week. We just got done killing Bale earlier in the day, so it's still fun. Horrible, crappy graphics. I mean, we're all playing it in a window mode. All of us have 2 gigahertz plus computers, and the game is running in, you know, full screen at like 15 frames per second. The graphics are atrocious. The music's pretty good, but
that's why you play in a windowed mode. Make it tiny, and all of a sudden, it looks good again.
Next topic.
Video game death.
Yay! You mean that people thing had... it wasn't the video game death? Oh, it's like a double whammy this week. Oh, I'm so happy.
Tons and tons of people, far too many to name, had sent me this link. It was funny because guys at work were walking up to me at work and going, did you hear? Did you hear? There's an actual video game death. You should put it on the podcast. So I said, thank you. IMME emailed me, thank you. In the future, continue to do the same. In South Korea, our favorite at all, video game coop warehouses.
Here it comes. It's going to be good.
A 28-year-old man had just finished a 50-hour session of StarCraft. Talking about old games. It was a 50-hour marathon at a local internet cafe. He died minutes after finishing his 50-hour session.
Aw, that's too bad.
Good job for him to finish.
He died from heart failure due to exhaustion. That's what the police are thinking. He played 3 days straight, taking only very small breaks for napping and bathroom. Ironically, he was recently fired or quit. This was a little hazy here. He was fired from his job to get more time to play video games. His mother noticed him missing, sent some friends to get him. They found him at the internet cafe, and he said, all right, I'll be there right after. Real friends, not online friends? When the friends found him, they said, all right, come home. Your mother wants to know where you're at, blah, blah, blah. The guy said, sure, right after this game.
My mommy wants you. You better come home. I'm 30 years old. Now you quit my job. This is my life.
You're not the boss of me. So he goes, okay, cool. I'll be home right after this game. His friends left, and he dropped over dead. Just a little piece of advice to all of our listeners out there. Doing anything for 50 hours in a row is bad. It doesn't matter what it is. If you do it for 50 hours in a row, it's probably bad.
How about breathing?
Okay, so Keith might have possibly found the one thing that you can do for 50 hours in a row is breathe. Congrats.
Yeah, my wisdom knows no bounds.
I mean, even sleeping. If you're asleep for 50 hours, right, you're in a coma.
Yeah, you got some issues. There's nothing that, no voluntary action that you should be doing for 50 hours straight.
Touché, Bob.
Next topic.
It's time again for Fact or Crap. Three things. One of these things is fake. Two of them are true. Number one. The brother of the lead animator on Halo 2 is actually a finalist in Canada's version of American Idol.
I have no... It could be true.
Number two. After years of trying, Apple has actually tried to put a patent on the iPod user interface, and it was denied. Number three. Of the next 26 games that EA is putting out, only half of them are originals. The rest are sequels.
Wow, this one's hard. I'm going to go with the second one being crap.
Apple failing to patent the iPod user interface is
crap.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense. Why would it not be able to patent a user interface for the device that it made? That didn't seem very fair.
And Keith?
After consulting the nipples, I'm deducing that.
You know, I'm never comfortable with you saying that.
I think that the third one.
You're saying the third one? You're saying that out of all the next 26 games?
Yeah, that number seems too low for EA to be original. I think at least of the 26, 20 have to be sequels. You're giving EA too much credit to be original.
Well, Keith, you are actually correct. Of the next 26 games that Electronic Arts is putting out, one of them is original. The other 25 are sequels.
Wow, even I gave EA too much credit for being original.
Here's for thinking outside the box, huh? Here's an interesting one, though. The one original, The Godfather, is based on a movie, so I don't even know if that counts. It's either that they don't trust their developers and their creative people to come up with a decent new franchise, or that they're just, they don't want to think outside of the box.
They don't have to make any new games because they bought all of the competition, so it just doesn't matter.
Allow me to reiterate.
Analysis were saying that basically 30% of their revenue is from sports games, and we all know, we've talked about it here, sports games, I mean, Madden is, what, 18 years old or something crazy, and you're basically just slapping new rosters, one or two new things, and you're re-releasing it for another $50 every year.
Apparently, because it's more
fun. Oh, yes.
Fun.
EA Sports, yes. You played this game.
That was good.
The one that was also true, the brother of the lead animator on Halo 2, is actually a finalist in Canadian Idol, which is a kind of a take on American Idol, which for those that don't know is a really lame, stupid TV reality show where people sing and then the winner gets like a record contract and they try and basically
they're
publicly
idols.
Breeding this group, this person to be like a
pop star.
And they're
promptly forgotten in a month.
Halo 2, lame singing contests, they go together. I'm not surprised by that. And the surprising one, that Apple actually failed to get a patent on the iPod user interface.
Yeah, how's that work?
Yeah, in an ironic twist of fate, about 3 weeks previous to Apple's application, a researcher at Microsoft patented the UI.
Oh.
Ooh. Microsoft's so worried about so many things, and then when push comes to shove, they're blatantly ripping off all kinds of stuff that they can do. Just because it's legal doesn't make it ethical. Okay, that was Factor Crap.
Good job. That was a good Factor Crap this week, Chris.
Yes, it was.
Well, thank
Bravo.
You.
Next topic.
Our forum question, www.dreamstation.cc. Over on the left-hand side, there is a link to the forums. If you go into the general forums, you will find our weekly poll. Redeema gave us last week's poll. Would you be willing to pay $70 to $100 for an online game if they never charged a subscription fee? 63% of you said yes, you would. 37% said no. I will read a couple of these comments, and then we'll go into our actual opinion on the subject. I Am Prince says, I would pay the extra cash. Over time, with the monthly fee, you're actually losing a large chunk of money, and it just doesn't seem like it. Darkfall says, raising the price and killing the subscription fees sounds okay to me, but I think average Joe would be scared off by such a high-priced game. Simpala64, I have never paid a monthly subscription to play a game, mostly because I do not play RPGs. I do think that if it was a game that I really liked, I'd pay a one-time fee over a subscription fee for sure. I would be PO'd if they decided not to support the game online after a certain period of time, though. That's a very valid point. You play a game, the servers eventually get shut down, you're hosed, you don't have a local copy.
They change all the rules
went
on
down,
you, I mean...
Pezzinator said, this is a great concept, but aside from the occasional game doing this, i.e. Guild Wars, I don't believe this is realistic in the minds of video game publishers. Why do that when they can basically charge $15 a month and subscribe over a million customers? It's a good point. Keith and I were talking earlier today about World of Warcraft, and I think they have, what, 4 or 5 million different people subscribed, and at $15 a month, I mean, that's $60 million a month. That's ridiculous when you think of it that way. Goober, 0135. Yeah, I would pay more for the game instead of an online subscription. The reason I skipped on Matrix Online and FF Online is because of the subscription price of $15. Power to the player. Redeema actually said, don't forget, those of you who play Halo 2 on Xbox Live are, in a way, paying for an online subscription to it. You guys are going to pay, like, what, $60 a year for the Xbox Live subscription? And then Halo, if you want to play the new maps, you pay for those. And a lot of other games have $5 for new maps or whatever, so...
See, that's funny.
If you could just buy the game and have the in-game ads and you watch them, there shouldn't be any subscription because you're allowing the ads there. If you don't want the ads, you can pay the extra money or the subscription.
Gonna happen, though, is you're gonna do both.
Yeah, you're going to do both, exactly. Look at the movies. You pay $7, $8 for a movie, and you got to sit through 10 minutes of commercials. It completely depends on the game, the type of game it is, and etc. I'm usually a one-month guy. City of Heroes I played for more than a month, and I've come back to it a few times. World of Warcraft, I think we made it, what, 3 months in it? $50 initial, you're going to get a month free, so you're going to pay 2 extra months, so that's $80 anyways. I don't see myself as the type of person who's going to be playing a game for 6 months or on. Then again, that being said, look, we're still playing Diablo 5 years later, although it wasn't a constant, though. I would rather pay it one time, have it forever.
I'm all for the suggestion of being able to host your own server for half of these games. I mean, I have this humongous amount of space taken up by the game, and the servers go down, it's completely useless. I mean, the software in and of its own accord is useless. I guess that's kind of getting off the topic a little bit, but...
Well, yes and no.
I definitely would pay the giant lump sum money as opposed to the subscription. Because even if you just pick it up and you play your 3 months and then you put it down and then you don't touch it again, maybe, you know, 6 months down the line you're like, huh, I'm in the mood to do this. And then you can just install that game again and go do whatever with it. If you are an MMO person, which Bob and I are, but may I add, we're not MMOs because we like people. We like MMOs because the game is just huge and you can't get that kind of content in single player games.
Multiplayer, but, it allows us to hang out cross cities. The content is pretty extensive. Geez. All we ever wanted, the only game that we've ever wanted as a group, I think, is we want tabletop role playing online with someone else being the game master so we don't have to do it.
Yeah, all of us are older now. Nobody has the time to mess around with any of that.
Yeah.
Nor do I want to shell out $50 every time a new stupid book comes out for whatever game we happen to be playing.
It's not going to happen. I mean, they're not going to do that because they want people to go and play on their servers. They don't want everyone to just go off on their own and do their own thing. It's why they end up forcing grouping and things like that. City of Heroes with forced grouping in that, but it's just...
Next topic.
Due to mailbag. Gaming Potato.
Gaming Potato!
You probably know more than me about the PlayStation 3, even though I read every article about it on
a crappy website that will remain unnamed.
And I was reading about it. The Sony people are taking all of these features and raising the price. And I've been a PlayStation person my whole life, but do you think it's a good idea to switch to Xbox 360? Yes. I think Sony has gone insane with power, and it's time to dethrone the evil corruptor.
With Microsoft? Oh yeah, that makes
perfect sense.
When fighting evil, one cannot look to good. One must look to another form of evil.
Thank you, Rick.
Come on, you've seen Blade 2. We've all seen Blade 2. Sometimes you got to join with
the
evil.
Chronicles of Riddick.
Oh. Come on, we've all seen Chronicles of Riddick. Sometimes you just got to join with the evil. So basically, yeah, he's asking, do you think it's a good idea to switch to the Xbox 360? Not a lot is known about the PlayStation 3 as far as price and what really is truly going to be in the system. The Xbox 360 is going to be out this year in November. It's not going to be ridiculously priced. It's going to be backwards compatible on most of the games that they have. And Xbox Live, quite frankly, rules. And it's going to be better than anything I think Sony can slap together in their first release. Now, I'm hoping they prove me wrong. But at this point in time, I'm definitely buying an Xbox 360 on launch. And who the heck knows about the PlayStation 3? I don't want to be spending all that money for something that this egotistical, arrogant guy, Kutaragi, is saying he wants people to work overtime and people want to want this thing and all these other crazy things that are popping out of this dude's head.
He's nuts. He's up there with the unspoken one.
This one's from Kyle Pellet, P-E-L-O-T, probably butchered it, but hey, that's a trend. Hi, I bought a PSP Theater Experience last week, and I thought, man, this thing is great, and it's perfect. Well, far from it. There are major problems with this product. You can't use it as a case, because when the PSP is snapped in place, the speakers are always on. Even when your PSP is not on, the speakers are always on, so the charge does not last you. Basically, you have to get it plugged in to get this thing to work, since the battery is always going. In short, I called Nyko, and they gave me an address and told me to send it in to them. They would send me the new version, which is coming out next month, which will fix the wiring problems and have an on and off switch. Hey, imagine that.
Hey, yes. Switch! Wow! That's thinking.
I'm thankful for this because it did cost $80 and it turned out to be total crap, so you may want to warn people to wait for the new version coming out. Thanks, keep up the great work. I think you've just warned them.
I'd also like to warn them. Wait till they have a game or two.
This one's from Chris Galloway. Hey guys, I gotta say, out of the five or so podcasts that I listen to on a regular basis, the DreamStation.cc video game show is my absolute favorite. Well, thank you very much. It makes me laugh a few times every show. I saw a funny online comic about Bumblefoot the Insignificant and Control-Alt-Delete comics. Good stuff. Keep up the excellent work. I'm not really... I know you guys are a little bit more into the online comic scene. I just don't have time to read the handfuls of the ones that I want to. Not going to post the link, because while funny, it's kind of inappropriate for an all-ages audience. So, but thank you very much for the link, sir. If you have anything else, please pass it along. And we appreciate the email. This one's from Darkfall Knight. A news article on BBC Online. Apparently, parents don't care about the ratings over in the UK. That basically, the problem wasn't that the ratings were on the games. It was basically they didn't care. They knew what they were, and they didn't care if they were 18 plus. They think the child is mature enough so that the games won't influence them. People over here are saying that the parents aren't even aware of the situation, which I'm not so sure. I've seen before movies and stuff, Tiger Woods talking about the ESRB and what each rating means. It's posted in every video game store you go into. It's in Best Buy and everywhere else. There's a big sign that says E means this, T means this, you know, mature rating means this. I don't know if it's just laziness on the parents' part or if they're just being ignorant or what.
Or maybe they're just not a bunch of bumbling buffoons that cry and whine over every slight little thing that they don't agree with. Oh no, my child's insane and ran and slaughtered 50 people in a school. Couldn't possibly be because, oh, I don't know, he's insane and I'm a horrible parent. It has to be a video game or a movie or music. Speaking of other countries, I just wanted to say thank you to Little Faye for hooking me up and helping me out with the Benny Hill ringtone for my phone. I really do appreciate this. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was basically a
ham sandwich for you.
I know a couple of different people sent us the either MIDI clips or the MP3s or the waves or something, but without making you sound like an idiot, you had no idea how to put it on there, huh?
You could pretty much make me sound like an idiot because I was.
Amazing. The guy who knows so much and has nipples that are actually seeing into the future can't put a ringtone on his phone, but guess we'll let that one slide, huh?
Well,
they're clairvoyant,
my nipples,
not mechanically inclined.
Exactly. They basically told me I'll have the Benny Hill theme on my phone, but they didn't tell me how.
Next topic.
You have been listening to show number 18 of the DreamStation.cc video game show.
Show number 13.
Check out our website, DreamStation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, and our downloadable show archive. If you want to drop us an email, please do so at videogameshow@DreamStation.cc. If you care to vote for us at PodcastDeli.com, we would appreciate it. And we hope you guys come back same time next week. Anybody have anything else?
Have a nice week.
I love Sweden.
Later, guys. Thanks.